Good morning. So, today we're going to be talking about Jesus' call to Levi from Luke. And why don't we start off by reading the scripture. So, now hear the word of the Lord from Luke 5, verse 27 through 33. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." So when I first found out that I was going to be preaching on this verse, my initial thought was, well, I'm going to preach on eating with sinners, because everybody that knows me knows that I'm inclined to eat with sinners. But as things turned out over time, I think this sermon has changed probably five times, the last time being last night while I slept. So I want to focus in on something a little bit different in this scripture than the eating with sinners part, and that is the call. To follow me, and what that means. In order to do that, I want to take a look at a couple other areas. Now, I think that a few of us at least would be aware that that call occurs a number of times throughout the gospel. As Jesus calls his disciples, "Follow me," and in a number of different areas. But it also occurs in the Old Testament, and this is a passage that I want to take a look at. And this is Elijah, the prophet, calling Elijah, who, when Elijah would be, "We lifted up to heaven by the chariot, swing low, sweet chariot." That's about Elijah, right? Going up to heaven. So this is Elijah's call to Elijah. And this is speaking of Elijah right now. So he, being Elijah, departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran to Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him, took the yoke of the oxen, sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. So, I think that call to each of us in the same way that it was to Elijah. Notice what he did. He didn't just follow Elijah. He destroyed everything that was his life. He left behind everything that he knew. He broke up the yoke and burned the yoke, slaughtered the oxen, used that the fire from the yoke to burn the oxen, and had a feast. So there was nothing to go back on when he moved forward to that call, that "follow me." It was a comprehensive move. There was no turning back. So if we fast forward to the time of Christ and Jesus moving through and seeing a man sitting at a toll booth, a tax collector, toll, the word kind of goes both ways there. And he says to Levi, "Follow me." And what does Levi do? He doesn't say, where are we going? He doesn't say, okay, hang on a second, let me lock everything up here and gather up all my money and I'll be right there. He leaves everything and he follows, right? And then he takes the spoils from the tax collecting, the toll collecting that he did, and he throws a feast, very much like Elijah did. He throws a feast in celebration of a new direction that he has taken to follow Christ. And this is the really hard thing for us to grasp in today's society, and that is when we are called to follow, it's not something that's a matter of showing up for church every Sunday. It's not something as simple as reading our Bible. It's really just so much more than that. And it's such a huge commitment to really think about. What Jesus is calling us to do is not to wake up every morning and read the Bible, is not to go to church every Sunday, but it's to turn everything in our lives towards Him. To take that step where we turn away from everything of the world that we were and move forward following Him, following His direction. There are a couple, you know, contemporary authors that talk about it in a number of different ways. One of them named Mark Batterson says that we go all in. Another one named Kyle Eidelman says that we become not a fan of Jesus, but a committed follower. Another one, the one that I like the best, is David Platt, who says it is a radical transformation of our lives. Right? I think, you know, for me, I'm a very good example of how radical that change can be. And you're going to hear a little bit, by the way, of my Methodistism, my Wesleyness come into this, because there's some decisions, some choices that we have in our Wesleyan theology that don't necessarily occur in others. But, you know, for me, my entire life, I had a plan, and I knew where I was going, and I had determined what I was going to do, and I had no doubt of what I was supposed to be in my eyes and how I was going to get there. And there were a number of times along the way when I would catch these little glimpses driving down Route 30 in Latrobe and looking over at St. Vincent Basilica at a time when I was very busy with my businesses and everything else in life and thinking, yeah, you know, man, how great would it be to be a monk? You know? And then there was another time, and this was early 2000s, where a friend of mine who I worked with in the construction industry, he was a store developer for Rite Aid, just up and quit his job and said, I'm going to seminary. And he went to Princeton and graduated from Princeton and got ordained. And my initial thought when I heard him say that was, wow, that it's just so awesome. Here's this guy who's 40-some years old, and he just figured out what he's really meant to do and his call, and he's leaving behind everything of his life that he had built to that point, and he's moving forward with nothing more than a commitment to follow Christ. And I would get these little glimpses, and then, you know, and I look back on it now, and it was Jesus saying, follow me. And my response was, okay, maybe, but right now I got too much to get done. You know, I got people who are relying on me. There was at one point when my burn, we call it, my weekly burn rate was $20,000 a week. So I had to have $20,000 a week in cash to make payroll, to pay all my employees, and to cover my overhead. And so, you know, that was something that was constantly in my mind. And all of these things were what was important for me to get done, what I needed to get done, to get to where I wanted to be in life. And over again, God found ways to show me that that wasn't what He wanted for me. That wasn't where I was supposed to be. And when I look back now, I can see them clearly. But at the time, I didn't see it. Jesus kept saying, follow me. Follow me. over and over and over again through the course of my life, he said, follow me. And I heard him. I just didn't understand it. You know, and it took so much. It took so much just absolute destruction of everything that my life was supposed to be, everything that my life was. And for me to turn finally and say, okay, you win. I choose you. I'm going to follow you. And, you know, I still struggle with this every day because I don't understand it, because it doesn't make sense the way that it's supposed to make sense to a boy who was raised in Western Pennsylvania, who went to business school, who has an MBA. There's no logic to it, because the first thing to know when you have to follow Christ is don't have a plan. Serious? Yeah, don't have a plan. So, because you get your daily bread, you don't get your weekly bread, you don't get your monthly bread. So every day I wake up and, you know, and I pray and I say, okay, now what? Now what? What am I supposed to do now? You know, I get these little, okay, I guess I'm supposed to go to seminary. So I end up in seminary. And then everybody asks me, well, what are you going to do when you get out of seminary? I'm like, I don't know. I literally have absolutely no clue what I'm going to do when I get out of seminary. The only thing I know is I'm not supposed to worry about what I'm going to do when I get out of seminary. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. And it is really, really hard. But there's an ease to it. There's a peace to it. There's a... it's not a high, high or a low, low. There's an evenness that... and a comfort to knowing that every day all I have to do is get up and pray and say, what is today going to bring? And where do you want me today? And that's where faith comes from. The rest of it is all on him. And so when I read Follow Me, and this is my Bible, that, and this Bible is 3 years old. I bought this Bible after my mother died, and when I really turned this direction, and I don't know if everybody can see that, but one of the very first things I did when I got this Bible was I wrote just the words, follow me, on the first page. We are all called in one way, shape, or form, or another by Christ. Each of our calls is different. Each of our calls we may or may not hear at different times in our lives. And the only thing that is constant is that we must listen. We have to listen. We have to get far enough away from the things in this world to just hear what it is in order to follow it. And then make that uncomfortable, uneasy step to move forward and leave everything else behind. That's what this scripture is to me. Amen.